And value means to be. So being means you have internalized that good quality of keeping a cool head. It is no more a theory for you. It's a practical, tangible, integral quality of your being. That is being. So, from here to here is not that difficult, but from here to here is very difficult. Second part, try to do is possible. To a great degree, this is possible. So, today we have learned many techniques which will teach us to go from this to this and eventually to come to this for a period of time. So, we have to de-anger ourselves because anger is dangerous. This is one of the definitions of anger. It's called momentary madness. Because we all have experience. When you become angry, you know, the intelligence says a goodbye and goes away. And then we speak or act in ways that may make others burst into tears. And then intelligence comes back again, simply to look at us and laugh at us. So that is why it's called momentary madness. So here are some reasons given why do we get angry. I have given some 6-8 situations for all of you. What I would like you to do is see the situation and you have to come up with one word that we all experience. Okay. So you are driving your car in a rush hour. So when you do so, what experience do you get in your mind? See, we all like pineapple jam, apple jam, but there is one jam we all don't like. You know what it is? Yeah, traffic jam. Right now you are caught up in a traffic jam. So when you are in a traffic jam, how do you feel? What is one emotion can you think of?
Irritation.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. So you get irritated. So how would you tackle it? Many of you, how would you tackle it positively? You are sitting in your car, you are inch by inch, you are moving. How would you tackle it? He's saying that you can put on some music, light music. There's a saying in English, you know, what cannot be cured must be endured. Now you are not going to fly over the traffic. You have to go through it. So try to make the situation positive by hearing some music, as you said, okay? But you get a last minute work assignment. What do you think? Yeah? Any of you?
Annoyed.
Yeah?
Annoyed.
Annoyed. Because our mind is not prepared for it, you know? If you are told at least a day in advance, you can prepare yourself. So when something comes at the last minute, it is difficult to tolerate. So for each of these, we can think of two reactions. See, I have asked the question, are you a reactor or a overreactor? Overreactor means one who acts beyond proportions. A disproportionate reaction. So, like we were saying about the traffic, one of you said that we feel irritated. Okay, you feel irritated. Somebody may come out of the car and throw tantrums on everybody. He may break the glass also. That is overreaction, isn't it? Or he may take a stone and throw at the vehicle, then the front or something. Similarly, getting a last minute work assignment, so you can get annoyed, it may be a mild response. What could be a very overreactive response? Yeah? You may walk out? Or you may abscond? Yeah, if somebody takes leave and runs away, you know, leaving the whole load on the boss, yeah, one can do that. Or one can behave the way this fellow is showing up. Okay, misplacing something in the house. What is the mild response to this? Yeah? Frustrated, correct? Okay, when one is frustrated, what do people do in such occasions? and frustration becomes more intense when we throw things, isn't it? Like here, this lady is just covering her head, but somebody will take books and throw everything or break some things. That overreaction. Having something break while using it. Yeah, of course you didn't intend to break it, but it slipped out of your hands and it broke. So what do you feel? Yeah? Any other? Suddenly you don't feel happy. Because it may be costly thing. If it is a fragile thing, it just slipped out of your hands. So it just broke off. So like somebody's mobile slipped off and fell and a car rode over it. That was the end of the mobile. So how do you feel? Disappointed? Yeah, because you didn't anticipate it. Because you didn't anticipate such a thing may happen. So you are disappointed. Disappointed by the sudden loss. So how can somebody overreact to such a situation if something breaks? Of course you can cry, they can express their disappointment. Dealing with incompetence at work. Of course if you happen to be a leader of your team and you have an incompetent fellow below you, what you will do? See, this is struggling with this thing. So what is the reaction? Yeah, you can shout, you may shout. Because some people need to be shouted to get the work done. So this is certainly overreaction, isn't it? If you see the picture. The amazing thing in this world is there are people who are slow and there are people who are fast. And the fast people always chase after the slow people. And the fast people always get frustrated, especially the type A managers. Type A will be always behind type B. Type B is generally slow. They are supposed to be slow and relaxed. So, this type of managers, they always want everybody to run along with them. Of course, some people try to run for some time. Somebody catches a lorry while riding a bicycle and he can go some distance. After the lorry goes fast, and he may fall off or something. Well, how do we overreact? Here is an example of overreaction. Shouting and yelling and screaming. We call it a BMW mode. Blaming, moaning, wailing mode. See, this fellow is planning his budget and is not able to fit in everything in his budget. It's going down. So what do you see? What is the emotion? Depressed. That's seeing the budget. Of course, overreaction could be psychosomatic depression, where it becomes a psychiatric problem. If somebody is blamed for something, what is the response? Any of you? You are never blamed by anyone in this world? Somebody blames you out here. Of course, if the blame is true, still we feel bad. But if the blame is not true, we feel even more bad. So how can you react and how can you overreact? This is a very important thing, this one. This is a very, I would request you to think about it. Very important. See, you all know the great philosopher, Socrates. This Socrates was a man who was always attractive to many of his philosophical friends. So they all used to have a talk in their home, many times sitting together. But his wife never liked them discussing so much philosophy, you see. She was always upset with them. So one day when he was talking like that, his wife came out of the kitchen and started yelling at him, screaming at him. And all the friends became very jittery, they were very disturbed. But then Socrates wasn't disturbed at all. But he told his friends, if you are also disturbed, then let's go to some park somewhere outside. So they all came out of the house. And to their great surprise, they saw
There was a big downpour of water from the top, and the whole body of Socrates became drenched. And everybody looked up. Sure enough, it was none other than his wife who was pouring a bucket of water upside down. So Socrates laughed and said, "Some time ago the clouds were rumbling and now they are pouring down," he said. So of course he laughed and his friends were still surprised when they saw him. So here is someone blaming at Socrates, but he never took the blame so seriously. That's the saying in English, as a proverb, no one can insult you without your consent. That's the saying. You get the meaning of this? No one can insult you without your consent. Unless you give consent, unless you take it seriously, the insult won't mean anything at all. No one can insult you without your consent. So, if somebody is blaming you for something, the reaction would be, you can tell them that, wait a minute, give me an opportunity to explain the situation. Let me clarify to you. That's a mild response. But a very fierce response would be, you are blaming me? How can you be so foolish? How can you so be harsh? You always catch me only. This kind of things, one could try. So we can say name calling. If somebody is blamed, one cannot. Or somebody may, you are blaming me, now I will blame you. If you can say two things about me, I can say 20 things about you. So that is also a very angry response, you see. Okay. This is also very similar to the first one, when you are waiting in the traffic. This is testing your patience, you see. When people are waiting in a queue like this, they may curse the government, they may curse the ration shop, they may curse everybody and anybody. So people get into blaming mode. So, the next few slides, what you are going to see is why we get angry. What causes anger? See, these are some of the reasons that we evaluated now. Unfulfilled ambitions and expectations causes anger. Like all of us in our lives, we expect that people understand us and people deal with us fairly. Nobody should cheat me. And nobody should find fault with me. Or I should never commit a mistake. I should always be right. And I should always be competent. And I should always be first. And nobody should be able to beat me. These kind of ideas we all have. How many of you agree? You agree? We have such aspirations in life. These are called expectations. Now, are we God that we will never commit a mistake at all? We do commit mistakes. In the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says, when you lit a fire, there is also smoke. You can't avoid smoke when there is a fire. Similarly, in this world, when you do any work, there is also some imperfection that goes into it. So we should learn to live with some deficiencies. And every one of us has a deficiency. You will find that we have some skill and some deficiency also. So we have too many expectations that become the cause of anger. Yeah. So here we discussed about frustrated. When we try to enjoy the way we plan to, then we get frustrated. We become angry when we are frustrated. Yeah, frustration is also a mild form of anger. Because in frustration, a person doesn't speak anything, but he's only acting. He's not yelling at anybody, but he's acting. This is another thing. If there's a threat to my self-esteem, which means somebody insults me, or somebody doesn't wish me good morning, or somebody neglects me, or somebody talks about me to someone else. So these things may arouse anger. Oh, he told about me like this? How bad you say it? So we get angry. Or we are neglected. You know, the project is being announced, that these are the people who did the project and our name is missed out. And we feel a very deep surge of pain. So in this way, these are also some of the feelings when you are treated unjustly, rudely, and insulted, and all these things.
So this anger is our response to this perceived threats. This is one thing that we all have to observe secretly within our own hearts. We like to be in control of things, in control of money, situation and people around us. And we want no interference from anyone. There is a very strong desire in everyone that we want to be in control of things. But the real reality is this, that we are not in full control of things. We have some control. Like, you know, the head of a department has control only within his own department, his or her department. Similarly, there may be bigger and bigger people having bigger and bigger levels of control. But we will not be able to control everything. It's not in our hands. This is one of the biggest causes of frustration. This is about opinion. My opinion should be my way or highway, people say, you know that? Or my way or wrong way. My way is the only way and all other ways are wrong ways. So this is a very serious problem amongst the interpersonal dealings between people. So, you all have heard about maturity. Anybody can tell me the definition of maturity? What do you mean by maturity? Maturity? Being conditioned to certain type of society. That means learning to adjust type of situations. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, you're close to what I was looking for. Anyone else would like to define what is maturity? Maturity. Maturity is very important for it, yeah? What is that? He's saying ability to control anger is maturity, he's saying. Okay. Acting according to our age. Okay. Maturity is balance between boldness and sensitivity. Like how many of you feel that you tend to be too soft in opinions and situations, that you don't force yourself? You always allow people to walk over you. I mean, you take a back seat, you don't even push your opinions much. You don't feel, if I ask you the question, for raise of hand. You understand my question? How many of you feel that you tend to be on a sensitive side? That you are generally sensitive and you don't want to push your opinions on others. Is there something? Nobody here. Okay. How many of you feel that you are on the boldness side, where you put your opinion and you would like to convince others to accept it? How many of you? At least we got 1/3 of the audience. Okay. And what about the rest of the audience? Are they bold or are they sensitive? Another way to put the same is courage versus considerate. Okay, how many of you are too considerate? You understood my question? You are too considerate. Yeah. Oftentimes you feel little difficulty in pushing your opinion on others. You better, you know, you just say it very mildly, softly, and you take a back seat. You know, how many of you? Only a few hands are up. Okay, thank you. So, here is an example of someone who is too much on the bold side. Insists, demands, commands that things should happen only his way. And when things don't happen, one gets frustrated. Yeah. This is one reason for frustration also. Yeah, when we attempt to control people and things and when we face failure, it's the cause of most of the emotional upsets. Yeah, we are not the controllers, we are cooperators. Actually, you will find in this world, nobody achieves success alone independently. A student's success comes from whom? From a teacher. A person who wants to join a company, his success comes from the interview panel. Is it not? Yeah. A shopkeeper's success comes from customers. You will see that. So it's always, there is a coexistence. Nobody is independent in this world. Like, you know, a businessman who has to make a good profit, For him to make the customer open his purse, before that he has to make his heart open. Otherwise he can't make his purse open. So, in the same manner, in this creation, in the world around us, we find there is always symbiotic relationship. Like you see, the plants give us oxygen and we give them carbon dioxide, isn't it? Like the cow gives us milk and we give them care, you know, in the form of grass and other things, maintenance of the cow, isn't it? Similarly, employer supplies employee the necessities and the employee works for the employer. Similarly, the parents take care of children and children take care of parents. We see like that. So there is a kind of dependence in this world, even in the world around us. And all this relativity of dependence is ultimately taken care of by one supreme creator on whom everyone else is dependent. That is why it's mentioned here, we are not controllers, but we are cooperators in the creator's plan. Here, we are going to introduce one very vital foundational understanding at this point, which will take care of all these points which we wrote down till now. That there are certain universal principles which can make you a super leader. A super leader, who is a super leader? Sacred, universal principles for exemplifying and realizing both. So this is what stands for SUPER. These are not principles which only Hinduism agrees or Christianity agrees or Islam agrees. These are universal and you can practically prove it, you can observe it yourself. Now, one of the first universal principles that I am going to introduce here is this. Every individual is potentially divine. Everybody is sacred. Everybody is pure. But whatever impurities you see in them is only some type of covering over them. Just like rainwater is pure, when it touches the ground it becomes impure. Isn't it? But then you can again send it to a desalination plant or somewhere and clean it again and make it pure again. Similarly, people whom we may label as bad or lazy or whatever we may label them, that type of labeling or judging, as we call it, is not at all appreciated. Why? Because everybody is changeable. Everybody actually, innately speaking, everybody has a divinity. See, this is a fundamental universal principle. And there is one supreme master, you call it energy, you call it creator, you call it God, about whom the whole universe is revolving around. And there are universal laws, which if we break, we have to suffer. So these are very foundational things. If we don't stick to those foundational truths, then we put ourselves at the pivot of the world. When we put ourselves at the pivot, we will be very frustrated. But we will be coming to that point eventually, that it will be coming in future slides. Okay, I'll tell more about this when you come to that slide. So here is another universal principle, which is to always see the positive side of life. You see, one time, a teacher went to a classroom and she took the pen and she just felt it, she put. And she asked the children, what do you see on the board? So all of them said, all the children said, ma'am, it's a black dot, they said. So the teacher said, what else do you see? They said, we don't see anything else. All we see is only one black dot. Then she asked the children, don't you see such a big white board? You see only the black dot? But this is what the whole world does generally. When you draw a black dot, that's what they see. They don't see the 99% of the board is white board. They don't see it. Similarly, in every situation, you will see, you know, we have a darker side and we have a brighter side. So here we are giving some examples here of how we can see things positively. For example, so if you see a rose and a stem, you can say, oh, here is a beautiful rose. In a bush, you may say that. Or you may say, see, you may say like this. Or you may say, oh, here is a thorny bush with the rose at the end, isn't it? So we all see our situations differently. This is not a new thing I'm teaching all of you. You might have heard about it. Sometimes they say a tumbler is half full, pessimistic approach. Or you can say a tumbler is half empty. You can say that is pessimistic approach. So these things, we hear in stories, but how much do we apply this in our everyday life? How much we are cheerful about? You see, based on the different feelings about the same situation, different people act differently. Yes. We can be very frustrated about situations. Like for example, say you are reading a book and you get caught up in a traffic jam. Immediately you can open the book and continue reading. Or say a train is going to go on the crossing. The gate is closed now and you are waiting in the car. If you have something valuable to do, you will never be frustrated. Is it not true? You can keep yourself occupied, engaged. So how we see life is very important. So here we will talk a little bit about the belief system. So you all know the Panchamahabhoot with which our body is made. And then we also have this called as mind, intelligence and false ego. This is a very important subject in dealing with anger. Because the mind is like a repository or a storehouse of all our emotions, feelings, experiences and everything. And intelligence is the decision maker. Okay, I can tell you in relation to a computer. In a computer we have a CPU, right? So intelligence is like the CPU, central processing unit. And the mind is like a hard disk. So the CPU is the decision maker, correct? In a computer? Correct? CPU makes the decisions? Correct? Yeah. And the mind is like a hard disk where you store. Sometimes there are also viruses also. There are horrible viruses also. Sometimes some software is put in the hard disk. And then there is false ego, which is actually called ahankar. False ego. Ego means I, identity. False ego means to imagine I am this body made of Panchamahabhoot. And the real identity is shown inside, which is called as a soul. The real you, which is an imperishable you. And if you don't know about this real you, which is imperishable, then we identify with the two external coverings. Just like a man may wear a banyan and a shirt outside. Similarly, the soul has two coverings, the subtle covering and the gross covering. Now here you see the five senses, eyes, nose, tongue, ears and skin, that are Jnanendriya. Jnanendriya. With which we are observing the world around us. So with your eyes you are watching. And then in the mind, there is a storehouse of thoughts, unfulfilled desires and previous experiences. Okay, I'll tell you an example. Say you are going to catch a train today evening at say 6 o'clock. So you gave the porter all the luggage, heavy luggage. He is carrying 3-4 luggage over his head and you rush to the platform. And you went to the train is coming, just now arriving, and the porter didn't come. You are turning around and waiting for him and the train comes, stops for 5 minutes and the train is moving. And as the train is moving, the porter comes and puts all the luggage down. Now how do you respond to the porter? You are sorry, seeing with your eyes. So these are our Jnanendriyas which are observing. And then the mind is a storehouse of your previous experiences. Say for example, we have been always upset with small things. For a thing like this, missing a train, you would be extremely upset. How many of you will be upset if the porter comes late in bringing your luggage? Be honest. You'll be upset, right? Yeah. So what are you likely to do when he puts the luggage down and the train is already moving? What are you likely to do? You're likely to yell at him or something. But this is a true story. One Mr. William James, I mentioned in the notes, you will see it in the back side. I think in the one of the places I had mentioned this story. Yeah, in the last but one page, point number 8. In point number 8, I have mentioned it. False ego is the root cause of anger. I have written that losing a moving plane. It's from a book called as Varieties of Religious Experience by William James. So when Mr. William James encountered such a situation, do you know what he did? No. He just smiled at him and said, "Anyway, I missed the train today. I will catch tomorrow's train," he said. And the porter was like taken aback by shock. And not only he did that, he took out his money and gave it to the porter, whatever charges were to be paid, he gave. And the next day, the same porter came and brought the luggage in time, and this time he didn't take any money. He did it free of cost either, by seeing his very positive response. So, as we see here, the false ego is beyond intelligence, which is actually, the ego is the cause of all broken relationships and all the competition in this world. But the mind, which is a storehouse of unfulfilled desires and previous experiences, it receives through these five senses and it stores impressions. And then based on that, it moves our hands, legs and our behavior. And the intelligence is supposed to give direction to the mind. But the mind oftentimes overthrows the intelligence also. You will understand it better in the next slide. You see, this is like a reservoir of water, which is compared to the chitta or the mind. And when you throw a stone, it produces ripples like that. So these are called vrittis. The vrittis are the ripples that form in the surface of the water. But if you put a very big stone in the water, it will produce huge waves called sanskaras, we call it. So all of you for a few moments look back in your life. How did you respond to these type of situations in your life? If you repeatedly, these are all one of them is one vritti, one wave. Like sometimes I became irritated, it's like throwing one stone in water. I became annoyed, another stone. Frustrated, another stone. Disappointed, shouting, depressed, name calling. So these are all different vrittis. By repeatedly doing, they turn into sanskaras. So sanskara means, I'll tell you a little more easily to understand sanskaras. You make a wet cement floor and you take a V angle or something and you make a wedge in it, in a wet cement. Or you put a shoe like this and after it dries, it makes a permanent impression. Correct? Similarly, these things, vrittis are not making permanent impressions, but continued vrittis make permanent impression. Again and again, and vrittis come in the mind. So they are called as krodha sanskaras. So now when krodha sanskaras come, we see that anger becomes our habit. Some people are habitually angry. For anything they will become angry. How many of you have seen such people? You have seen? Yeah. So how they became like this? That is because of repeatedly introducing vrittis into their mind. Repeatedly showing anger in multiple situations, it has become a krodha sanskaras have become very deep. And that krodha sanskaras lead to something called as vikalpa, we call it. The Sanskrit word vikalpa means it's a malediction or speaking loose mouth, speaking loosely with the mouth. Or sometimes, for small things they will speak a very big word. That's called vikalpa. So, some people, their mouth is very foul mouth, we say. Foul mouthed people. And the vikalpa actually comes from multiple krodha sanskaras like this. So, anger has four stages. Initially, it is called disturbance. All of us, we all get disturbed in some situation. But the second stage is called irritation. Disturbance becomes irritation. And the third stage is called anger. And the fourth stage is called resentment. We call it resentment. I'll tell you the meaning of each of this. Now, disturbance means, like I told you, you got last minute assignment. So you are a little disturbed. But then some people are more disturbed. They will say, they'll murmur. Our company, Amesha, is a what the heck? They will say, every time they catch us at the last minute, why they don't have any good sense, they may say. This is irritation. And anger means, they don't just make some comment, but they take some serious action. So they may tell the boss that, if I don't do it, what you will do? I am going to reject it or something. Or I will not do it now within a week, I will take 3 weeks to do or whatever. That is display of anger. But resentment means what? The resentment is a revengeful attitude. Resentment means externally you are saying, okay, okay, you're not in that, but internally you're fuming. That is resentment. Normally did no bad, that kind of item. Now, because right now you can't shout at the other person because he's in a more powerful position. So you keep it with you. It's called sweet talking on face and bad mouthing on back, you say. Duplicity, lack of integrity, you see. So, how to report which is most dangerous? Fourth one, naturally. We should never come to a point of anger where we are talking to ourselves. Like sometimes I see on the road somebody while walking, they talk to themselves. They become so upset with somebody. They are talking, they've gone crazy. So, see, here's a beautiful example given in the Upanishads. There are five horses compared to the five senses, and the rope is compared to the mind. See, this is another comparison given. Shrotram chakshus parshanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishtayam anashtayam vishaya anupasevate. This is like the mind, and these five senses are grouped about the mind. So they all are giving input to the mind. That's why you have a microprocessing device, say compare it to the mind. And you have servomotors, linear rotary servomotors, which are like our senses. So whatever you program in the mind, whatever you program in the microprocessor, the servomotors will act accordingly, correct? Linear, rotary and everything. Similarly, our mind is the storehouse. If my mind is angry, then my hand may take something and throw. My hand is acting based on what the mind is dictating. Is that clear to everybody? That means our thoughts lead to the feelings and feelings lead to actions. They all are connected. So, here you find the driver of the chariot is intelligence. So, intelligence has to hold the mind and the mind has to control the horses. So, the white person who is sitting, the passenger, is the soul, Atma, or the real resident in the body, imperishable resident in the body. Imagine if the intelligent driver is very weak, he loses the ropes, then all the horses will run in all directions. So, if we want to control our anger, then we have to subdue the mind with our intelligence. Okay, let me ask you a question. Say a husband and wife, they are finding that in their family, they have been having incident after incident, which is causing irritability to both. Say one day in the morning, say husband and wife had a quarrel, for example, and then they both went to their offices. Evening they come back, but the waves, the impressions remain. How many of you agree? Correct?
Yeah.
When we have had a verbal fight, then the impressions remain. The evening, say wife is bringing a glass of water. She is bringing it and suddenly she stumbles and falls and the glass breaks. And the husband is, why? He is saying, you fool. You have broken the glass and the whole house is spoiled. She says, this is just 2 rupee glass. You are making such a big issue. As if I have lost some 2 crore rupees or 2 lakh rupees. And then there is a big fight between the two. And why the husband is shouting like this? Because it's a continuation of his earlier anger. From the morning anger is continuing in the evening also again. So, if they are observing like this, one out of the two of them should decide that we want to stop these angry exchanges. Now I am asking you a question to all of you. What is the impetus for them to want to stop their angry behavior? What is the impetus for them? Impetus means what is the motivation for them to take a positive step that, you know, let me not continue to have these angry exchanges, it is not good. I think one out of the two. It is said that though hatha se pari prastha, you know, one hand goes away and one hand cannot make sound, isn't it? So one out of the two, what is the motivation for them to say no to behaving in an angry way? Any of you? You heard my question? Yeah? Okay, they want peace. One motivation is peace. Any other motivation? To improve the relationship or to not worsen the relationship. Correct? Yeah. Madam, you answered many nice questions. I would like to hear from others also. Anybody else? Any other motivation? Yeah.
Long term interest.
Ah, long-term interest, yeah. That's long-term interest. Because if our anger keeps on increasing day after day, then the happiness will be lost at home. And eventually, you know, it may go to a point, a peak point where one may even consider divorce and other things, which will become a great problem for the children, isn't it? So these kind of problems will be there. Yeah, correct. Any other point?
They should have same goal for the family.
Ah, they should have same goal for the family. Yeah. You can explain it more?
Together, both man and wife should talk and they should have one goal,
How to be satisfied. Okay, that's a very good point. So they both can think that let us come together and see why are we getting upset with each other. Let us understand each other's, it's called as being nice. Nice means needs, interests, concerns and expectations. Needs, interests, concerns and expectations of each other. So if they are very responsible people, they will do that, as you rightly said, to be a nice person. Very good. So that is the meaning of intelligence. Intelligence means use your intelligence to subdue the mind. Control the mind, control the senses, like you see in this example. Then you can have peace. Yeah, if mind is stronger, we go by the emotions, we succumb to anger. If intelligence is stronger, then we can resist our temper and we will not lose our temper. So we have to make our intelligence stronger to control the mind. See, our mind is like a book. What we want to fill it up in it, we can fill it up. So we all have certain scripts. Like I told you, some people throw the sanskaras which they have cultivated. It's not that they cannot change, they can also change, provided they rewrite the scripts. And where do we get the scripts from? These are the things. What books do we read? In America, there are so many detective novels which are published. Later on, the police found out that those detective novels gave clues to the criminals to kill so many people. Because those fellows read those detective novels and they applied those techniques. Like we read Conan Doyle, you know, there are so many detective stories people read and then they apply those things. So we also, we will see that whatever books we read and assimilate, we become products of those books. So you have a choice, what book you want to read. So there are many wisdom literatures, like for example, the books like Mahabharata, Ramayana, they are very, very exhaustive, you know. And they give lot of valuable tips for leaders, like Chanakya Niti, Panchatantra, Hitopadesha, this kind of books. So do we want to assimilate wisdom and apply in our lives, or we want to read the use and throw novels, you know, which teach many, many times wrong principles. Nowadays they are showing so many wrong type of serials in the television also. Like a man is already married to a woman and then the man is looking at another woman, or woman is looking at another man. They are showing such kind of serials and they are ruining the people's minds. So we need to see what movies we watch, what books we read, what kind of music we listen. If you are hearing raucous music, it is like putting a person in a rickshaw and toppling the whole rickshaw. The whole biological rhythm is disturbed. 110 decibel, boom, boom, your heart is, So what type of music you listen, what type of friends you keep, you see. So if you put good in, we get good out. If you put garbage in, you get garbage out, you see. So,
thank you.
See, when our lust is, lust means what? This is lust, it's called as hankering or desires or lust. Lust means wanting to be the boss, wanting to be the controller, wanting to enjoy independent of God, independently whatever one wants to do. No? I am the boss of all I serve, that's the meaning of lust. So when it is unsatisfied, then we get frustrated, we get angry. When it is satisfied, we want more. For example, somebody wanted a bicycle, they got a bicycle. Now they want a scooter. Now they want a Maruti car at least. And they want a Sandero car. And they want a Benz car. And they would like to have their own helicopter. And they would like to have their own chartered plane. Similarly, people in villages would like to come to towns. People in town like to come to Pune city. People in cities would like to go to America. People in America would like to go to another planet. So, you'll find the growth when it is satisfied becomes lobha. Lobha means what? Greed. This is greed. There is no end to this greed. It keeps expanding. You see? And when it is not satisfied, it becomes anger. So this is where the anger comes from. So what the wisdom literatures tell us, we should, like Gandhi also said one statement, there is enough for everyone's need in this world, but there is not enough for one man's greed. He said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but not for one man's greed, he said. In fact, out of 10 richest men in the world, 4 are in India. Do you know that? The top 10 rich men in the world, out of 4 are in India. So you empty their pockets, whole India can be happy. Only, I don't know who will do that. So, the greedy people accumulate, and they have no end only. They go on accumulating more and more, and those who are unsatisfied, they become this thing. So these books when we read, movies when we watch, they can awaken calm in us. Lust means what? We want to go out of Lakshman Rekha. You all know what is Lakshman Rekha. Sita was told not to go out of that, isn't it? So there is a limit for everything. When we want to go out of that, then it leads to greed and anger. For example, in the war between Duryodhana and the Pandavas, you see, Pandavas are ready to take 5 villages and be happy. But the Kauravas said, we won't even give you 5 villages. We will destroy you completely. This is called unreasonable greed. Unreasonable thing. Similarly, when the calm means actually hankering, longing or hankering for something which should not be hankered, then that leads to anger. And this is not very difficult to know why is anger dangerous. So I will go through this very fast, this section. It increases frustration. And also, when we become very angry, we become very blind. We say kamanda, we have krodanda also, we become blind. We cannot solve a problem when we become angry. Like I heard a story, a man went with his dog to the jungle on his horse. And he was in the jungle for some time. He was lying under a tree and eating and sleeping for some time. And then he got up on his horse and he was about to come back. The dog was barking and moving in front of him like this and not letting him go, you know. Bow, 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 just barking all the time. And the man was wondering, why my dog has gone mad? He just took his gun and shot him. And then he went ahead. After going some distance, he realized my wallet is missing. So he came back. And then he looked under the tree, his wallet was lying and the dog was also lying with his mouth bleeding and he had died. Of course he did pick up the wallet and he cried like anything, oh my dear dog, I killed you. And you actually were barking in order to remind me of my own wallet. But it was too late for him to bring the dog back to life. So this is how the anger works. We become very angry and we lose our temper and we can't solve the problem. That is one reason why we should resist our anger. It's not a solution to frustration, it's a reaction to frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know But we physically also become sick when we get angry. Doctors say that the mind attacks the body. Like if you want to know scientifically how it happens, you all know if you have middle aplankata, below that we have hypothalamus glands we have. When you become very angry, it secretes some adrenaline. And the adrenaline is called the endocrine orchestra, they call it. The adrenaline comes and it blocks the blood vessels. And it increases the BP also, blood pressure. And then it naturally leads to physical sickness. And mentally we feel very weak also. Now, I was telling about the human relationship some time ago. This is said in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kamam krodham tadat lobas tasmat yetat trayam tyajet. These three are said, lust, anger and greed. These three are gates leading to hell. Lust is not only extreme attachment for sex life or anything. Lust also means enjoyership mentality. I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, that is lust. Greed means I want to enjoy more, I want to enjoy more, that is greed. And anger means dissatisfied lust, which leads to frustration, that is anger. So these three are called as the gateways to hell. One has to control them. Every same man should give his up what will lead to the degradation of the soul. Yeah, anger is also very poisonous to our heart. Can any of you explain the meaning of this, what I said just now? What do I mean when I say anger is poisonous? Mike? Anger is very poisonous to our heart. And anger is also contagious. You know the meaning of the word contagious? Contagious means it passes from one person to another. Like A becomes highly angry on B and B also gets white. And then passes to C and D and then a whole group of people become very angry. It's contagious. But what is the first meaning? Poisonous. Why do we say anger is poisonous? Any of you, can you say why? Why I say that anger makes our heart poisonous? See, a few minutes ago I was telling you about this growth sanskara I was telling you. When we become very angry, we get thoughts of hurting others. We get thought of hurting others, or we get some thoughts that we wish bad for others. We hope and pray that let somebody else suffer. We pray that that fellow has done this to me, at least his leg should break. At least he'll get some accident. That kind of thoughts we get. So you all have heard the story of Dhruva? You have heard Dhruva's story? How many of you know the person called Dhruva? Dhruva? See, Dhruva, he was a small boy. He wanted to sit on the lap of his father. So his mother's name was Suniti. And his mother's co-wife, her name was Suruchi. Now Suruchi was a very beautiful lady. And Suniti was not so beautiful lady. The very name suggests Suruchi means she was very attractive. Suniti means she was very moral. So Dhruva was son of Suniti. So one day in his father's lap, his stepmother's son was sitting, Uttama was sitting on one lap. So Dhruva wanted to go and sit on his father's lap. And immediately his stepmother came and dragged him with his hand and threw him away. And said, "Hey Dhruva, if you want to sit on your father's lap, you should take birth from my womb," she said. "Otherwise you cannot sit. Only my son can sit on the father's lap," like that she said. So Dhruva became very, very upset. His lips were quivering. Eyes became bloodshot, became very angry, and he went to his mother, Suniti, and told him, "Mother, do you know what happened to me today? This is the way stepmother treated me." He felt like beating up his stepmother. How dare she deals with me like this? But his mother told him, "My dear child, do not harbor such thoughts in your mind. If she has done some bad to you, you know, God will do some bad to her. You don't have to worry. Never harbor any bad thoughts about others in your mind. Never wish bad for others. Sarve janaha sukhina bhavantu," he said. Let there be good, that good happen to all people. That's the way we should think. So poisonous thoughts means wishing bad for others. Actually doing bad is not as dangerous as wishing bad. Because wishing bad is like carrying a hot coal in your hand and running after somebody. You keep running after somebody and that person is running away from you. So who is suffering? If I am carrying a red hot coal in my hand, we only suffer. That is why I told you. The poisonous thoughts are very dangerous for us. So his mother told him, "My dear child, you better worship God and you pray to him and you have a cool head and whatever punishment she has to be, she will get. And you don't think anything bad," like this she said, because that makes her heart poisonous. And such people eventually will see, they will lose all cheerfulness, they will lose all happiness. Constantly they become enemy centered, as we say. Have you seen people who talk about always their enemy? You know? They are always waiting for opportunity someday to do something. The person who holds on to anger or resentment is without his knowing it causing damage to himself from within. This is what I was telling you. It poisons the system. That is on your mind. The very people maintain good consciousness. Therefore, it is everyone's duty to try strenuously to control desire and anger. Yeah. Wrong desires we should control and we should also control our anger. How to overcome anger? Here is the solution. This is a very important part. The very first step is to recognize that I am losing my temper. See, what you should do, all of us, like when I am standing in this place, I should go outside myself and look at myself like this. How is my behavior? So you go out of your body and look at yourself. What is your nature? How many of you have made a self-observation about yourself? Anytime. Very good. More than 50% of you. Okay, very good. Thank you. It's very important to do that. Sometimes your friends may tell you that you are a very cheerful person. You are very friendly. Or you are very impersonal. Or you are very selfish. Or you are very selfless. Some intimate friends may tell you. You can have peer observation, you can have superior observation, you can have self-observation also. You can observe. So, by self-observation, if I recognize that I am becoming angry, now I have to identify the source. Like this, earlier I wrote to you, what are the causes of my anger? Actually, we have a book called the Stress Management. In that book, I have given a tabular column. On which day did I become angry? With whom did I become angry? For how much long time I became angry, and is the anger arising because of my wrong behavior or that person's wrong behavior? And the stress levels, were they very high or are they moderate or are they low? All that we have to ask. So you make such an analysis and it's very helpful. We call it as an emotional diary, we call it. Of course, keep it very confidential with yourself, don't show it to anybody. Or you can keep it for an year and here you can throw it. But it's very helpful to make a diary for yourself. Understand why you are angry by doing this ABC analysis. What is ABC analysis? Here is the procedure. A stands for activating agent. What activates the anger? And B is our own belief system. And C is consequences. And consequential behavior. The way you act or behave as a result of your emotional feeling. Okay. Now the first example you are taking now. So your friend told somebody that you are not smart in your work. One of your friends, you come to know. Hey, what is this? This fellow is such a hard-working fellow. Koda pahad nikle chuhiya oti aada mari. They say, no? And he works so hard, yeah, come on. But he doesn't do much good work. Like that he told, actually you became very upset. You told that I am not smart in my work. So the activating agent is, this is the cause of your anger now. That my friend spoke about me to somebody like this. And then the belief system. You feel that your friend should not have criticized you. You feel that he is foolish and he doesn't know how you are very smart and quick in your job. He is not well informed about it. That's what you feel. That is your belief system. See, sometimes we may have some deficiency which if somebody pinpoints, it is very painful for us. How many of you feel? Correct? Yeah. It may be true also. But you see, everybody is gone with some deficiency and some with strengths. Everybody. So here this person is feeling very bad. No, I am smart. That's what he wants to say. And the emotional consequences, he is feeling hurt. And what is consequential behavior? You shout back and get angry at him. This is a consequential behavior. So how to tackle this? Three ways here. Expression. When somebody expresses like this, it gives some temporary relief. But it's not a very good thing. Why? Because resentment comes eventually. Simply yelling at a person eventually leads to resentment. And then gradually anger becomes a habit, as I told you. Repeatedly one becomes angry for every small thing. One loses power of discrimination and one becomes disproportionate in anger. One becomes a slave of anger. Another way is suppression, which is also not good. Because suppression leads to resentment in subconscious mind. Hatred. It leads to psychological complexes. And what is the right way? Burn anger before anger burns you. So we have given solutions here. I don't want to read this. These are given in the notes also. Three things are given here. Patience, austerity and forgiveness. About which I have given in the notes also. You all will read it, get to read it. This will take time. I want to give some 10 minutes for question answers. Because 5 o'clock we are going to end. Now it is 4:50 now. I can take some questions now, if any of you have, for a few minutes.
Do you suggest any exercise or something like that to control the anger?
There are certain general practices like austerity, the middle one they said. I will show you about that. I'll be showing you.
Okay.
One thing I'll show you there. See, problem is anger, so it's also an urge. Suppose I'm insulted by somebody, naturally I'll be angry, but if I can control, alright, he's foolish, he has done. Why shall I lose my temper? That is called controlling the Krodhavegam, it says. So there's a tapasya in controlling. So here he says, there are three verses in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says here, austerity of body, austerity of speech, austerity of mind, he says. In speech he says here, that speak truthfully, speak in a pleasing way, speak in a beneficial way and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting very beneficial. In mind he says, simplicity, gravity, self-control, purification of one's existence. So, in this way he is prescribing certain tapasya by which our sanskaras in our mind will be rectified. As I told you, the krodha sanskaras have to be closed and crushed. New good sanskaras have to be cut. So there are six things Buddha also says. You know what he says? You should perform acts of goodwill. I'll show you that also. In the notes, it's there. Your notes, okay? I'll show you. I have mentioned it here in page number 3. You see page number 3? Page number 3, point number 5. You see? Acts of goodwill towards fellow beings. That is the fifth point. Do not make others angry in that below that. Acts of goodwill towards fellow beings. Words of goodwill sincerely spoken. Thoughts of goodwill sincerely harbored. Sharing with others up to the last crumb of bread. Sharing with others your higher life of flawless virtue. Removing all evil around you with the noble saving creed of love. Like the six things he says. But from my side, I'll tell you one very simple technique for this. You can follow the ABCD technique, we call it. Because ABCD, none of you forget ABCD. A stands for association. Association with saintly and association with those who are restraining their lower impulses and leading a noble life. They are cheerful. They have already conquered the lower urges. That kind of association regularly is very valuable. Like we have, this program is a one impact program we are doing, but we also do weekly programs or fortnightly programs. And by regularly coming in Sangha of such kind of people, you will see an elevation in mind and consciousness. That is A. And B stands for books. Like we have displayed some books here. So, just like if we don't read these books, then we read so many other unwanted books also. So we need to read books which will elevate us, which will not degrade our consciousness. Like there are many wisdom literature, or like for example, Stephen Covey was one to write the first revolutionary book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Because that book was in a different direction compared to the other management books, which always talk about capture the market, capture the client, you know, how to take some shortcuts, you know. Whereas his book talked about character. So you can read books like that. Then we also have other books. We are publishing a series of 20 pocket books. One is going to be an anger management also. There is stress management. Then there is overcoming maturity complex, you know, and the power of habits, this kind of topics. So you need to read books which will elevate you and your thinking process. And thirdly, C is called chanting Diwali. We do meditation. In every religion you will see that is a meditation for calming the mind. Like Christians, they do Hail Mary, they also do. Like Muslims, they do this, and rosaries they do. They also have crystal rosary, must have seen. Even Buddhists do Namo Amida Butsu, they also do. Similarly, some people in Maharashtra, they do Jai Jai Ramakrishna, they do. We do Hare Krishna mantra, we do. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Repeated recitation of a mantra and paying attention to that calms the mind. In fact, these things are researched by doctorate students with thousands of candidates. This kind of mantra meditation techniques. So that is C. C for chanting. And D for diet. What type of diet you eat also decides your behavior. Say if somebody is eating very chapati, very thick at it, then they also have tongue which is very sharp also. If one is eating too many chilies, then they become very angry. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what type of food you eat? If you drink milk, if you eat mild sattvic ahar, then your behavior also is very mild. So see the cow? Cow may have a big body, but the cow is very mild. But you see the monkey is very small, but very, very fidgety, very active. You have seen monkey? He will never keep silent in one place. He will run and jump here and there. So there are animals, there are passionate animals which are goodness. Similarly, by sattvic ahar, like vegetables, fruits, cereals, grains, and milk. By such kind of food, our nature also becomes mild. But when you eat meat, for example, see when you kill an animal, the animal is very fearful. So the adrenaline secretes when you kill the animal. And the animal also is trying to attack back. So there is fight and flight, both behavior in the animal. So that becomes a product of violence and fear. So when we eat it, then we also get violence and fear, which is actually increased rajoguna, we call it, rajoguna, passion. So, you remember the ABCD, A for association, B for books, spiritual books, and C for chanting, and D for diet. Of course, this is not just a diet prescribed by your physician or health physician. This is prasad, we call it, spiritual diet. And sattvic ahara. By doing these things, one can see a tangible change. And there are also more points are given in the notes, you can necessarily go through it. I have given all the vital points. Each point is so solid, you will have to contemplate and expand upon it and remember it.